Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and understanding the prophecies of the end time. Now, we've been going through a series of prophecies covering the last time, covering the return of Christ and what's going to happen on the earth, what's going to happen in the heavens, and how is it going to be, approximately when the Great Tribulation will take place, etc. Now, let's understand this for sure. We need to look to the events. God is the one who has set the timetable, and the only clear timetable we have is the last 7 years, which is the 70th week of the 70-week prophecy of Daniel 9. Then we've seen how other prophecies fit into that, and we have been going step by step through parts of the book of Revelation to understand exactly what is going to happen. We have seen that there is not going to be any rapture. We have seen that the return of Christ is not going to be a secret event. We have seen that God said he's going to shake the heavens, shake the earth, and there is a time of trouble coming upon the world that has never been since there was a nation. Now let's come back to Jeremiah 25. Let's understand the prophecies at the end time from the point of view that God wants us to understand them, and that is this. Every word of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. Now, we have this guarantee. He said, the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. I want you to think about that statement for just a minute, because not very many people realize that the one who became Jesus Christ was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament. They think that Jesus, being the Son of God, had nothing to do with the Old Testament, but it was the Father who was the God of the Old Testament. And they have never read the scripture which says that Jesus came to reveal the Father, because he hadn't been revealed up to that point. And they don't understand the scripture which says, in the beginning was the Word, who was Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing came into being that was created without him. So the one who became Jesus Christ, the Lord God of the Old Testament. So when he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, you better include all the Old Testament. And yet, what is something that modern Christianity does today? Well, they agree with the atheists. Oh, how can you say you agree with the atheist? Well, very simple. Atheists say, we don't want the Bible. Protestants say, Old Testament has been fulfilled, done away. Catholics say, we don't need the Bible. You all agree with atheists. You ever thought about that? How can you agree with God? Well, you better repent and start keeping his laws and commandments, and you better be baptized. The true baptism. Now, we'll explain about baptism a little later in greater detail, because it's not just an initiation into a church, and it's not just a ritual. It is a personal covenant between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said, all these things are going to take place. There'll be trouble such as not known since the beginning of the world. Great tribulation such as never has happened. And we're edging closer and closer and closer to those days. All right, let's come to Jeremiah 25. Now in this, Jeremiah was told to take a cup from the hand of the Lord and to go to all the kings of the earth. And this prophecy shows that the whole world is going to be involved against Christ when he returns. So Jeremiah took his cup. Verse 26, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, all the kingdoms of the world. I want you to circle all, because that's a key in understanding these scriptures. That means each and every one. Then I'd like you to get a globe and look at it and understand that everything in the end time is global. Everything in the end time has to do with all nations. Everything in the end time has to do with the lost 10 tribes of Israel, which were never lost before God, and their punishment. And that basically centers around United States of America and Britain. Now, if you don't believe those things, go back and read Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and see, because we reject God as a people, he is going to punish us. We've already covered some of those curses which are coming upon us. Are they not coming? Have I not done some of them right here in church at home? Are they not unfolding before your very eyes? Can you not read it in your newspaper and see it on your television? Yes, indeed. See, the word of God is true. The word of God is going to be fulfilled, and God has the power to do it. And no man, no group of men are going to defy God and get away with it. That's why God told Jeremiah, tell them they will drink. All the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth. Now, is that inclusive or not inclusive? Tell me. Does it leave anybody out? No, not a single one of them. And the king of Shishak. Never heard of that before, but that's a prophecy of the one who becomes the Antichrist of the New Testament. Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and be drunk, and vomit and fall, and rise no more because of the sword which I will send among you. We're dealing with God. The nations say, oh, we don't want God. Nations rage and foam and wrath against God, and fight in war among each other for power, for control. And Satan, the devil, is the god of this world who is deceiving the whole world. And the first thing you need to do and understand is this. Most of what you see in the world is an artificial reality. It is real that you can go to a supermarket to get food. But it's artificial from this point of view. Someone's got to grow it somewhere. And you just going to the supermarket to buy it has not always been that way. One day, that's coming to an end. And you don't even know how to use a shovel, let alone plant seeds and grow a crop and harvest it and store it. You don't even know how to kill and slaughter a chicken. You wouldn't know what to do, how to catch it where it is, anything like that. So you need to understand, we live in an artificial reality created by men. And when all the supports go from it, everything is cut loose. Now let's continue. Verse 29. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city that is called by my name, and you shall go unpunished. You shall not go unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord. All, A-L-L, each and every one. Therefore, it's incumbent for you to get right with God. Let me tell you this. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter how good you think your church has been. It doesn't matter. None of those things count, because it's getting down to you and God. And if you believe the commandments of God have been done away, and if you believe that these things have already been fulfilled, then you are at war with God. And who do you think is going to lose? You are. No one's going to fight against God and get away with it. Oh, I don't do that. Do you reject his Sabbath? Do you reject his holy days? Do you reject his commandments? Oh, well, we're taught it at church that all of those things have been done away. They're at war with God. You're fighting God. You're fighting Christ. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Doesn't matter how sweet and lovely you like to have things. It's going to come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Let's go on. Verse 30. And prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation, and he shall mightily roar over his dwelling place. He shall give a shout like those who tread out the grapes against all the people of the earth. And a noise shall come from the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with nations, and he will plead with all flesh and will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Now remember, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. This whole world, all the religions, all the governments, every individual is in rebellion against God. Every man is doing that which is right in his or her own eyes. And the sin and stench of this Babylon the Great that we live in is rising to high heaven, and the judgment of God is coming. Let's finish this prophecy here. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be stirred up from the farthest corners of the earth. Now, how bad is it going to get? Listen, I want to tell you by the word of God. Yes, God is love, God is truth, God is merciful, God is righteous. That is true. But God is ruler, God is lawmaker, God is judge. And after he's given mercy and a chance of repentance and a time to understand, after he has pleaded with them through his word, after he has dealt with them through circumstances, and they won't repent, and they won't change, and they won't come to God, then God is going to bring it against them, because they've declared war against God. You declare war against God, you're going to lose. How's it going to be? Remember Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be again. And unless those days were limited, and we saw he limited the end time to 7 years, 3.5 of those years are going to be a time of relative peace. 3.5 of those years are going to be involved in great tribulation and death and destruction and upheaval of this earth such as never has been. So verse 33 of Jeremiah 25 reads, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be mourned, nor gathered, nor buried. They shall be as dung on the ground. And then he points to who the ones are to blame. The religious leaders and the government leaders and the banking and financing leaders of this world, they have all operated under the deceptive, lying, cheating schemes of Satan, the devil, and seeking to destroy all humanity. See, the rich, powerful, elite, internationalist elite are the ones who are leading the charge. And all the people of the world, because they reject God, are following along like lemmings. And lemmings will come to a cliff and they'll all go over the edge. Perfect description of what's happening. Verse 34. Howl, you shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, you lords of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your scattering are fulfilled, and you shall fall like a choice vessel. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the lords of the flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and the howling of the lords of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled their pasture. Yes, they've used the people. Abused the people, taxed them, oppressed them, lied to them, ruled over them. and the anger of the Lord is coming. These are the days of wrath and anger. Just at a time when men think, oh, we're on the verge of making ourselves like God. It isn't going to happen. Christ is returning. The end is coming. How far off down the road it is, we don't know. But you better be ready. And you better be on God's side. Let me tell you something you need to understand. God is not going to come on your side on your terms, because he's God. You're not. If you want any semblance of being spared, even though it's going to be very difficult, if you want any hope of salvation in the first resurrection, you better get on God's side. Because unless you're on God's side, there's no mercy going to be given, even the smallest little bit. Let's read on. And the peaceful pastures are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Like the lion, he has left his den, for their land is wasted because of the fierceness of the oppressing sword and because of his fierce anger. Isn't it interesting how we read back there in Revelation, the 5th chapter, that who is going to open the seals? Now, we'll get back to the book of Revelation here in just a bit. But who is the one that's going to open the seals there in Revelation, the 5th chapter? There was a lamb as if it had been slain, and a lion of the tribe of Judah. That's Jesus. One is Savior, as depicted by the lamb, and the other as warrior, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And look at what it says. Like the lion, he has left his den. You need to think about it. You need to understand all the scriptures come together. All of them support one another. See, church at home is designed to help you understand the Word of God and help you to have a personal relationship with God at home, because you're not going to get it in the churches. And the way things are going right now, with the price of gasoline going sky high because of the way that the Middle East is and the way that the corporations are hiking up the prices and speculators adding to it, you're not going to be able to drive very far. The church at home is where you start. Church at home is how you can learn to get your priorities straight. Now, I get emails from time to time from people who listen to church at home or go to cbcg.org and say, where's a church I can attend? One man wrote and said, well, I'm over here in this state and every church around is either Catholic or Protestant. See, because people have been trained that if you want to find out about God, go to a church. Well, God says, I'm going to bring it to you. And as a matter of fact, the early New Testament church began in the homes. Now let me ask you another question. How much value is getting together with people just for the sake of getting together with people? If you're not first grounded in the Word of God, if you're not first grounded in the truth of God, if you first have not established a relationship with God, if you first have not started to keep the commandments of God, and if you're not willing to hunger and thirst after the truth of God, and know that there are many, many, many things in the Bible. The Bible is deep. The Bible has many things to understand. And so it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some time. That's why we have church at home. You go back over some of those video casts that I've done as to why church at home. Because we want you to get right with God. We want you to understand what salvation is. We want you to enter into a covenant with God. And that takes your personal effort, your personal commitment, your personal study. It's not going to be siphoned into your head. It's not going to have you like some of the modernists like Raymond Kurzweil. Oh, by 2030, we'll be immortal. Really? Well, I think old Kurtzfield's going to be dead by then. But he says, we'll back up to a computer and we'll plug the things into our head and boom, we'll have the knowledge injected into our minds. Instant education isn't going to work that way. God works with his spirit and your mind. God works with his truth, which is found in the Bible. God works with your repentance and your yieldedness to him. None of these modern things are going to work. Now, I know we use the internet for church at home, and that makes it available for us to be up there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I also know this, that when you have a Bible, the real thing, now it's good to have it on a computer, that's wonderful, but I'll tell you a little secret. The real thing doesn't need a battery, and it doesn't need a wall plug, but it needs a willing heart from you and a willing mind to believe God and love him. That's what's important for us to understand. See, these things that are coming, the days that we have seen, the things that we have covered here. Now, let's come to Mark, the 13th chapter, and let's see what Jesus said. Then we'll see also what Paul said as to why Jesus said this. A lot of people say, well, if he was God before he became human, doesn't God know everything, beginning from the end and every little detail that there is? Well, when there's free choice, there's certain things that he chooses not to know because he gives that to us to decide. Then he makes his decision based upon what we choose, because he's given us all free moral agency, and he's not going to take it away. So let's read it here. Verse 31, we've covered this. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Oh, how could the Son not know? Well, we'll cover this, because most people don't understand what's going to happen to the earth, to the moon, to the sun, when God shakes the earth, and how the time is going to be so out of whack, no one's going to know the day nor the hour. However, we are told that we do know the times and the seasons. Now, let's come here to Acts, the first chapter, because Jesus repeated this again to them just before he ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of God, when they wanted to know if the kingdom was going to be established at that time. Jesus told them, verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. So those are placed in the Father's authority. Yet we find over here in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, something that is quite unusual. And why would Paul write this? All right, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and verse 1. Now then, concerning the times and seasons, concerning the return of Christ he's writing about here, brethren, there is no need that I write you. For you yourselves understand perfectly that the day of the Lord will come exactly as a thief comes by night. How are we to know, then, the times and the seasons, when we're told no one knows the day or the hour? Well, there's a difference. Times and seasons that the Father has placed in his authority, he's going to do. He has revealed to us some of these times and seasons through the holy days, through the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. Now, that gives us the framework. So we have a general idea and understanding from the holy days about the events which will come. But that does, even though we know the holy days, when we get down to the end time, as we will review on the next video cast, the heavens and earth are so going to be so out of skew that no one on the earth is going to know when a day begins or ends, or how much time has been lost. Those are the times that are reserved under the Father's authority. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. I hope that these messages will help you understand the days that we live in and the frightful times that are ahead of us, so you can be prepared mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, and to get your life right with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.